Welcome to the DermVet Podcast. I'm Dr. Ashley Bourgeois, a board-certified veterinary dermatologist practicing in Portland, Oregon with animal dermatology clinics. I'm also a mom of two, just trying to find the balance like everyone else. Let's learn to ditch the itch, cytology, everything, and make derm more fun than frustrating. Well, it's that time of year. It's the end of the year. Wrapping up 2023, which has been an incredible year. Obviously, challenges, but really amazing and good things as I got back to traveling and really getting out there and teaching again. So I just want to do a short and sweet episode, of course, saying thank you to everybody. This is officially the 200th episode of the podcast, which blows my mind and ended up being an end of the year episode. I didn't plan it that way. Just the way it kind of spaced out when I originally did the podcast, I did every other week, and then it quickly got to the point I felt like it needed to be done weekly. It's ranged from a lot of individual episodes, especially the last year as we have navigated, everything with our son and then me getting back to traveling. But I'm really looking forward to getting back to some interview episodes next year because those truly are some of my favorite things to do. So looking forward to mixing more of those in. But eventually, as this has gone weekly and I've stayed consistent with it, it's been 4 years now, which is just incredible to think. Over 4 years, this podcast has been going and that we're on the 200th episode. And I just checked my downloads. It's almost currently at the end of December 2023. We are at almost 450,000 downloads, which just seems crazy to think about how many people have listened to me talk. But I really do appreciate it. And the way that I always end the year is I like to do a little wrap up. And what I do is on my social media, I just ask, what are some of the main tips you've taken away from the podcast? And this year, what I did were, what were some of your derm wins for the year? So quickly, just want to share a few of those that kind of summarize the responses I got and then let you close out the year of 2023. So first one, you know, I'm going to love this one. And I got lots about cytology. I've been doing more cytology this year, and now I can tailor treatment protocols way better for my patients. You know, this makes a dermatologist happy to always hear cytology mentioned. And it seems like we're always saying, please cytology, please cytology. But the reason we do is because it is that important. And I just had two cases today where, you know, as I'm collecting samples, I'm talking to the owner about the importance of it. Owner mentions, oh, it's always yeast. And then I look, cytology hadn't been done in a while because, you know, quote unquote, it's always yeast. It looks like yeast, smells like yeast, and it's all cocci. And the pet's been, you know, on a bunch of anti-yeast medications. That's really not beneficial, at least at this moment, for that pet. So it's just something we're seeing so frequently. You know, it always looks like this, and then it turns into something else. They're on antimicrobials they don't need to be on, and antimicrobials have their own risk, right? We don't want to breed resistant bacteria. We don't want to be using azoles that can cause liver issues if it's actually all bacteria. And most importantly, we are relieving the ability to provide comfort for that patient. And with how modern medicine has gotten, you know, I would hope we can at least grab slides and do cytology. Really, that's like a minimum database in dermatology. So I'm always so happy to hear that you guys are using new collection methods like the toothpick method and claw folds, that you're feeling more confident about cytology. I always mention in my lectures, you don't have to feel comfortable knowing everything. You've heard me say it before. Feel comfortable with bacteria, yeast, and weird. Because if it's weird, you can always refer or biopsy. So just get confident in those cytology skills. It makes me so happy to hear that that is still ringing true for a lot of listeners to the podcast. Another person mentioned, my derm win was I had a patient who ended up having methicillin-resistant staph, pseudintermedius. After several months of working up, we finally got the patient fixed. Methicillin-resistant staph can be very, very difficult, but actually appropriately working it up. Remember the big things we want to think about with MRSP. What do we need to do to treat it? So if we're starting to not respond to traditional antibiotics like cephalosporins or maybe clindamycin, We really, really want the owner to save up, because I know cultures are not cheap. We really want to try to encourage that owner to save up. It's better for us to spend some time saving up money so that we can do a culture rather than doing what I call antibiotic roulette. We don't want to be just guessing. If they're not empirically responding to some of our more first tier antibiotics, then we should be doing a culture. If an owner cannot culture, remember, topical therapy can help so much, even in really bad methicillin resistant staph cases. You can have them bathe with 3-4% chlorhexidine daily to every other day, or use topicals like mousses. You can have them do bleach soaks, but we do not want to just be throwing things like fluoroquinolones, other, you know, big antibiotics, especially for methicillin resistant staph. We know they can get more resistant to certain antibiotics, especially things like fluoroquinolones. And we also know that just causes a lot of frustration for the owner if, you know, we don't have better guidance in how to treat that patient. So methicillin resistant staph is annoying and a pain, but if done right, knowing what to use by culture, utilizing things like topical therapy, and then really the third big thing is, why is it there? Remember, it's not always allergies. We could have something like hypothyroidism that's led to an MRSP. We could have Cushing's disease that's led to an MRSP. We could have pemphigus that's led to an MRSP. But we have to know why it's there, or we're going to struggle to get that under control as well. Another person mentioned one of their derm wins was really focusing on client communication, kind of accepting the fact that we can have certain protocols in place on how we work up these allergic patients, but at the end of the day, they're all individuals. So they mentioned just getting out of the mindset of cookie cutter dermatology and really talking with the owner about their goals and what they hope to accomplish. And this is something super important to me. That's why I think derm is so fun, even though I spend a large majority of my day talking about allergies and infections. I really get to look at that owner and say, you know, what makes sense for them? I love allergy testing, but guess what? Not every owner is going to go for it, either due to finances or their, you know, willingness to put in the effort with an unsure result after a year. Maybe they've had another pet who's been on it before and they didn't respond to it, and they're just not willing to go through it again, even though that pet's a different individual. So I love allergy testing, but I can't force an owner to do it, and I'm not going to not help that pet because they're not going to do it. You know, same with whatever workup they can do. If they're not going to do a diet trial, you know, I'm going to work with them to understand the importance of it, but I have to weigh how likely really is a food allergy in this pet. You know, if it's really a difficult non-seasonal otitis or they've got GI issues, we're really going to take some time digging into that. But if it's something I'm just crossing off the list to cross off the list and the owner cannot do it right now or won't do it, I'm still going to try to help that pet through other methods. So that's what I find really exciting. And it can be frustrating at times when I can't do the things I feel like I need to, but it also just makes every day different. You know, some days I get a bunch of clients who can commit to everything. Some days we get clients that can't, but that's what keeps it really interesting. And at the end of the day, I'm going to do my best to help that pet with whatever situation I am handed. And I just really love that. Number four, and this is kind of jumping off some of that pyoderma chat and methicillin resistant infections, but is that topical therapy can have so many different benefits, and that there's so many different products for a reason. And I love this because, yes, we think of, oh, they have a pyoderma, they have malassezia, what are the topical wipes we can use that'll treat that? But there's other benefits to topicals besides anti-infectives. There's a lot of products that helps restore their skin barrier. You know, so for example, the Duke's OS3 products with Ofitrium in it, the Dermascent products. We have a lot of options that are going to help restore that skin barrier. You know, the new Decra product, Atopivet, they have a collar. I know, not really topical. We have a collar that can really help restore the skin barrier if people can't do topicals, or they have spot-on pipettes. There's so many options for a reason, and we want to make sure that we're utilizing certain topicals for that pet. So if I think it'd be helpful to bathe that pet in something, but they're not infected, I'm not going to throw them on chlorhexidine. I'm going to use something like the Duke's OS3 Calm or the Dermascent to bathe, restore the skin, but also do things like remove pollens, remove debris, which we know can lead to infections or lead to more absorption of these allergens. you just have to explain that to owners so they know even when they're doing well, bathing can be really important to restore that skin barrier and to help remove things like allergens. It's also why we're really obsessed with wiping paws and facial folds, right? Using those wipes get into difficult crevices like facial folds. They allow us to wipe things off the paws. We know that most dogs are not walking around with shoes on, so they're picking up these pollens on their paws. And so we want to help remove those so they don't absorb them. Remember, besides their immune system being overactive, these dogs also have skin barrier defects. So they just allow certain allergens to penetrate easier than a normal dog's skin would. And that also is a portion of their genetic problem that then cascades into increased inflammation and itch due to the cytokines that, you know, are triggered by that. So just recognizing that's really important. And then the last one I want to end on is that not every itchy dog is allergic. You know, I love this. I love all of these. This is why they're in the top sections of what I picked out. But not every itchy dog is allergic. And to remember that there are certain things that can cue you that it's not related to an allergy. Like they don't have a history of skin disease and all of a sudden it pops up when they're 12. We want to have other things on our list like epitheliotropic lymphoma, which is, can also be itchy. If you see their nasal plenum, they're itchy, but their nasal plenum is depigmenting and becoming crusty. You know, pemphigus in some cases can be itchy, especially if it gets really infected. So having other differentials on our list, looking at other portions of the skin, the paw pads, the mucous membranes, just to make sure they're not affected. If you're seeing big nodules on the body, that would not be common for allergies unless they got some weird deep pyoderma. And so just recognizing these small changes is really, really important because we do deal with other things beyond allergies, especially other things that can be itchy. Then you go to your basic stuff like sarcoptic mange. Like we just don't want to be missing those things and we want to guide these pets in the right direction. So that is my short and sweet kind of top derm wins submitted to you guys through social media. I love them. I love all of you. Just really important year for me as we've gotten through some things this year and that the podcast has just kept going strong. And it's not just me showing up, it's you guys actually listening. That's so important. When I see the downloads of the episodes and I see the messages you guys send or the comments you put up on social media that the podcast is so helpful, when you come up at conferences and tell me how much it means to you, that is what keeps me going. And that's what's going to get us to year five of this podcast. And it's just so amazing. I can't believe that we've already been together this long on the podcast. I can't believe that next year we're going to hit 500,000 downloads. And I can't believe this is the 200th episode of the podcast. I hope you all have had an amazing 2023. You know, often we know there's going to be difficult times, but I hope in general it's been a great year for you. That derm has become a little bit more fun than frustrating, as I like to say. And I just look forward to seeing what 2024 brings on the podcast and the veterinary world and the dermatology world and for all of you.